Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 13 December. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kuntz, U.S. inflation, and also I notice iron ore ticking a little bit, back above $100 a ton. Cookie Koyman, Denker Capital, talking banks and insurers. And then Kevin Brady from A2X Markets. Volumes on that exchange are surging the last couple of months. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Christo Visa takes a 414 million rand bet on ShopRite using single stock futures. One of those things, if it works, he makes a fortune. If it doesn't, it gets very ugly very quickly. Business Day, Amplats approves a 4 billion rand extension. This project is going to start first quarter of next year. Essentially, new shafts to replace depleting shaft reserves that they have. It's going to add about 250,000 ounces a year. Not massive, and will take about 6 years to complete. Morning markets, US was green on Friday. S&P up 1%. Nasdaq just ahead up 1.1%. Asia is green. Sydney up 0.2%. Tokyo almost 1% higher. Commodities, green over the weekend. Gold, 1787. Brent, 76.13. Palladium, 17.76. It was weaker. It's picked up a bit this morning, but certainly weaker on Friday. Rand, 15.96. Top 40 opening call, about 340 points to the green. It's about 0.5%. That as Tencent is trading up 2.6% in Hong Kong. Chatting now with Nick Kuntz, Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning. I guess it was 4 weeks ago when we chatted, when we had U.S. inflation. It's now come out even higher, 6.8%. Makes it the highest since the early 80s when, at that point, there were interest rates in the U.S. were double digit. Point being, market is not concerned.
Yeah, morning, Sal. That's exactly right. I mean, I also did a little bit of homework. 1982, the last time inflation was this level, and you're right, a double digit. In fact, it was 21% was the overnight rate in America, interest rates. So it's difficult to sort of to try to tie it up with what we're seeing now. You said it's a unique situation, but I saw the talk shows this week in America on their political shows on Sunday, dominated by Democrats and the Republicans, now saying the Fed needs to rein it in, because I certainly think they're going to be behind the curve here.
Yeah, and that first to taper more aggressively, and then probably rates. I mean, initially it was 2024, then it was 2023. Truthfully, I mean, mid year might be too late for them next year.
Yeah, they've got to start raising rates quite quickly. I mean, most central banks like a couple of percentage points, 200-300 percentage points, sort of basis points, I guess, cushion between where inflation is. You typically see where we are in South Africa. We're quite prudent when we do that. But I mean, with inflation, like almost approaching 7%, and it's not just the case of oil and a few other things that make up the basket. I mean, everything from cocoa, coffee beans, wheat, milk, you name it, everything is up 20, 30, 40%. And I just seem that I think they're making a policy mistake. They've got to really, really start raising rates quickly on inflation. You don't want there's nothing wrong with a little bit of inflation, Simon, but what you don't want is rampant inflation. And I think we're starting to accelerate.
Yeah, and a little bit fun. 6.8%, not a little bit. Iron ore, and that's been suddenly rising. It was down around $90 a ton. It's now about 105. The reports over the weekend saying this is a excitement due to China stimulus. I didn't find anything new around Chinese stimulus. I mean, is this just iron ore doing what it does best, which is, I don't know. As a trader, I leave it alone because it confuses me.
Yeah, and it's quite a difficult one to trade, actually, because of the contracts listed in the Dalian Exchange in China, and the next one's in Singapore, and there's also a spot market as well, which the smelters use, which trades slightly differently, obviously, to the futures market. It is a difficult one. I also picked up, there's a bit of news, they cut their repo rate, their reserve ratio requirements for banks. That was on sort of Thursday. But, I mean, that was a little bit of old news, and I guess it's quite correlated, obviously, with the property sector in China. This, the price of steel and rebar and stainless steel as well, all linked like iron ore to that property market. So there seems to be like that Evergrande, and there was another one recently that defaults in the last few days. They seem to be trying to manage it up not a very disruptive default, which I guess is a little bit positive. But the market's got that spin at the moment, Simon. They're going to try to look for a little bit of a positive spin on everything.
Yeah, and don't stand between the market and some positive spin. Nick Kuntz, Sanlam Private Wealth, appreciate the early morning as always.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Kwekwe Kuman from Denker Capital. Talking banks, we've had a number of commentators talk around our banks in the last couple of days. We've also had the Turkey issue, and the key point there is that we've got an independent central bank. Turkey hasn't, and that's seen their currency collapse. Kwekwe, appreciate the time today. Talking our banks, I mean, our banks are world-renowned. They're strong. They're well-financed. We saw that in the 08 crisis. We saw it again last year. A couple of folks are saying, though, returns have perhaps been a little bit modest, certainly our calendar year, although if we go back to the lows in October, we've had a really good run in the banks.
Yeah, no, Simon, you're totally right. Our banks are strong. They're actually very well managed, but come back to that later. We just got a very negative environment for them. And, you know, if you look at the last 5 years, they have underperformed quite dramatically. I think they're the second worst performer on the JSE. But what investors forget is that, you know, in 2016, the banks were trading at very high multiples. I mean, FirstRand was trading at 2.8, Investec 1.4, Absanet 1.6, whereas at the end of last year, Investec was trading at 50% discount to its price to book, 0.5, and Absa 0.97. So those 4 years until the beginning of this year saw a big derating. And so this year we saw a nice re-rating and obviously a strong earnings rebound post-COVID.
And what we have seen as well, I mean, the issues, I mean, I mentioned up front, they're well capitalized, they're well positioned. You make the point that they're operating in a tough environment. I mean, we've seen GDP data out, we've seen unemployment data. It's difficult for a bank to really do incredibly well when your economy is, frankly, limping.
No, absolutely. I mean, we've seen the same in Brazil and in Turkey. Although Turkey, interesting, is a very dynamic industrial hub. So a lot of the Turkish corporates did well through exports as the currency tanked. And the banks actually there kept track. But here, there was just very little growth. I mean, our export sector isn't strong enough.
You mentioned a couple of them there, and I know I've chatted with yourself and your colleague before. Most people sort of put the Standard Bank, the First Rands, as the best of the bunch. Investec has had a brilliant year. You mentioned they were trading at half of their book value. Looking into 2022, what is your pick of our local banks?
Yeah, it's very interesting. If you look at the year gone by, Investec actually gave you a return of 140%. That's with 100. That's not a mistake. 140. Where Standard Bank only gained 11%. The others, by the way, all did about 30. Capitec, Nedbank, Absa around 30. So, Investec, funny enough, still looks cheap. It's still only trading at 0.88 price to NAV. And, we've had quite a few engagements with the management team. And that new management team have really done well in turning it around the bank, cutting costs in the UK. And bear in mind that 50% of their assets are UK. So, you know, the UK economy is in a stronger position, much stronger than South Africa, and will grow at a higher rate. And the Investec are well poised to do that. And, you know, they're targeting a much higher return on capital than they've done. So investors, you can still see further re-rating. The problem with Standard Bank, and that is really why it actually underperformed in 2021, is really the merger with Liberty.
Yeah.
Well, not the merger, they're actually taking it out. And by the way, you've obviously seen that Liberty price jump a lot because Standard Bank are paying for that. But so the market is just saying after so many years, more than 10 of trying to turn it around, you're giving up and you're just taking it out of the limelight and trying to fix it internally. And the market isn't that sure. Well, I think they'll get it right, but it's going to be more difficult. And at the same time, Africa, like South Africa, has got a lot of issues with COVID, with vaccination rates. So whereas a few years ago, everybody was very excited about emerging markets in Africa. And, you know, so Africa might still not fire on all cylinders, also because of debt levels. Mm-hmm. So Standard Bank, if you simply pick the worst performers then of the banks, you go for Standard Bank. But I think Investec and like Nedbank and Absa will do better than Standard Bank. It's actually very interesting if you look at the same on the insurance side, where Sanlam and Santam have been the worst performers. I mean, Santam basically flat. And Santam, obviously, because of business interruption claims. COVID has hit them very hard. Sanlam, like the other insurers, a lot with the payout for the higher death rate hit them as well as the other insurers, but Sanlam went into the pandemic quite expensive. Santam is something that earnings, I think, will surprise very, very positively next year. But it's not cheap, but relative to its past, it is cheap. And then obviously Discovery was a big underperformer. It's down 8% for the year. But again, like the other insurers, growth slowdown in South Africa, high claims, and then what hit them the worst is sentiment towards China. You know, the whole Ping An story. Mm-hmm. Ping An is obviously about Ping An. It was about the Chinese government suddenly clamping down on all kinds of, whether they were abusers, malpractices, or just trying to change, the way the economy operates. But that had a huge negative effect on Discovery because of so many people putting him on a high multiple because of the potential growth in China.
Yep, and certainly we've seen some numbers out there. The Discovery Bank is signing up and doing fairly well in that regard. We'll leave it there. Cookie Coyman, Denker Capital, always appreciate the time, sir. A question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles, talking with Cookie there, around banks, around insurers. They've had an all right year. Investec, stellar. But the rest, an all right year. Do you think there's some value in that sector? You can have your vote, you can have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles at MoneyWeb.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Kevin Brady, CEO of A2X Markets. Kevin, appreciate the time today. So you've got a page on your website where you give indications of trading volumes going through. I've been keeping an eye on it. And if we go back to 2019, November, under 200 million. Last year, 600 million. And then suddenly September starting to really move. You saw plus 3 billion September, October, 2.4 billion last month. Volumes massively picked up.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show, as always, and I'm glad to hear you keeping an eye on the activity. It's been a wonderful end to the year. I think really the key has been we've managed to unlock the trickiness around the post-trade dilemma that has faced brokers. Mm-hmm. We rolled out our own post-trade system earlier this year, And as we started rolling it out into the brokers, it's unlocked that tap, and we're starting to see these volumes kick up very, very nicely. And I think for us, what's quite exciting is as we roll it out to each broker, we obviously get a kick up in activity. And so in terms of looking into the next year, we're very excited.
Okay, so that does make sense. Are more brokers signing up? Because that obviously has been one of the challenges. You've got a couple, you've got some of the big ones. Are people knocking on your door?
So it's a good question. So we've got five of the six biggest brokers that count for about 60% what happens on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Getting the top 10 right is vital from an A2X perspective. And you're quite right. As you've seen some of these big brokers come on and trading starting to pick up, you're quite right. We are starting to get greater interest from the ones that haven't come yet. We are engaging with them. And I would say, they're keen to join.
I know we've chatted a couple of times about the best execution regulation sort of that I was hoping would come in this year, probably. So were you. Any update on that?
You're right. I mean, we were very much hoping that it would be in place by now. Look, unfortunately, we don't have any visibility other than that we know it's still sitting with the regulator and still being discussed. Mm-hmm. From our side, we are pushing. We think it's a very important piece of regulation for the market and for the end consumer. And look, let's hope it's 2022 and we get it rolled out.
Yeah, there's hoping. Listings, certainly I see regular news releases in my inbox. I see the Sense announcements coming through as well. You're also picking up a lot of listings. How many do you have right now?
So you're right. We've had a good end of the year. We've just announced two, Pan African Resources and Netcare yesterday. So we're up to 59. And I think what we're finding is that as activity levels have picked up, as asset managers and investors are seeing the benefits, they start asking the companies, and we're starting to see a much greater interest from them as well. So we would anticipate the rate of adoption to continue quite in a healthy way going into next year.
For the company that's doing a secondary listing on A2X, I mean, is there any significant increase in paperwork and process from their side?
So, good question. So, look, there's no cost, there's no risk, and there's no extra work for a company to have a secondary listing. We do need, they need to sign a two-page authorization document. Mm-hmm. Once that's done, we give the market 5 days notice, and their shares can be on and trading. It really is as simple as that.
And of the top 40, how many of those do you have? I mean, you've got the big ones, you've got the Sassels, you've got the Naspers and Prosus. How many are you missing out of the top 40?
So we've got 12 of the top 40. We continue to develop. And I think, as I say, looking towards next year, we have been engaging with a big number of the remainder. And we kind of feel there's a much warmer reception and a willingness to adopt.
Okay. And then I'm imagining the sort of big issuers in terms of transaction are going to be Naspers and Prosus. I mean, that's where we see the volume in our South African market.
You're 100% correct. So the bulk of the activity takes place. The biggest trader in our market is Prosus, followed by Naspers. Mm-hmm. And that's not inconsistent with what happens on the JSE as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And a last question. I mean, one of the attractions obviously is costs in terms of transacting on A2X, which means tighter spreads as well in terms of the bid offer. Because if I'm saving X, I can pay a little bit more or sell for a little bit lower. That's still the case. You're still seeing better spreads coming through.
Very much so. So you're quite right. By having a lower cost structure, it attracts additional liquidity and helps create better price formation, which means narrow spreads. So you're quite right. And I think that's why we've also seen the surge in activity, because people are now managing to get a better transaction, price improvement, mm-hmm. additional liquidity, and they're paying lower fees to do so. And that's obviously the core of our proposition.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it is the cliche, the win-win-win. We'll leave it there. Kevin Brady, CEO, A2X Markets, appreciate the time today, and I hope you have a rocking 2022. That's it for today. Our poll Friday on our Twitter and LinkedIn, local and global markets that had a great 2021, I mean, north of 20% across indices. The question we asked was, How did your portfolio do? Almost half of you were saying, actually, we had an excellent year, and congrats to you. Just a third, about 40%, said it was all right. But there were some stocks out there which underperformed. And then about a sixth of you said, no, it absolutely did struggle. But the majority having a nice year, and that's what we like to see. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Wednesday, our last live show, we'll do recordings through to the 24th, and then we are back 10 Jan. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.